What is the best deed? That which people consider the best deed? Saying so and so is doing so much good? While pious and good deeds are not necessarily what others call it good deeds, the best and good deed is number one that is done with sincerity, purely for the sake of Allah. Number two, according to the Sunnah. Then, only then, it is an ahsan or a best deed, not by people calling it a best deed. If a deed doesn't have sincerity and is not done for the sake of Allah alone, it may become a source of punishment for the person. People think the best deeds are only limited to certain specific good deeds. Rather, even a person's kind way to speak to others is also a best deed. Person's good manners and character is also best deed. Having good relations with people is good deed. Worshipping Allah is also the best deed. Ahsan, or best deed, is not confined to just a few specific deeds, such as fasting, salah alone. A person's thinking, their bad assumptions of people, jealousy, envy, hatred, are also deeds, but these are the deeds that must be avoided. What else are considered as deeds? Deeds done at day or night, those done at home or outside of home, all are deeds. We are being checked in every aspect of our life, what we do. Actions or deeds done in youth, old age, all deeds. We are filling our notebook with our deeds each and every day. And are we gaining? We don't realize that the one giving the test is not visible, but he is watching and observing us. As for every test, there is a syllabus, so the person can prepare for the test. But what is our syllabus? The Quran. The Quran teaches the criteria to pass this test, and how to prepare for it, what to take in this life and what to leave. Our behaviors will show where we are in our test. Just as not all students get the same marks in a class. Some students do well, some do not, some barely pass, and some fail. Similarly, in this test, not everyone will pass. Some will exceed, and some will remain back. Who will understand the reality of this life and know why they were given this life to begin with? We cannot think that just because we do not see the one giving the test, we do not have anyone asking, we can live and play. We didn't come here to play. The one who gives us this life will ask us about it. In the Quran, many ayahs mention how man was sent to be tested, but shaitan makes man forget, and how man wastes so much of his time. There is so much time where we can do good deeds, but instead we waste it. Every minute becomes an hour, and every hour adds to become hours. We spend in front of a screen. We waste many hours every day. That each day becomes days, and days become months, and months turn to years. The ice is getting melted by the minute. We must sell it. If we sell it now, we may get a price for it. But if it melts and becomes water, no one will buy it. Just as an ice seller, his sale is only profitable as long as the ice is still ice, so he should make a sale and sell it right away. No one will buy the water of melted ice. Similarly, no one will buy this life when it becomes useless. So as long as we have life, we have to make a bargain and do the best deeds. But to do this, a person will have to safeguard his time so he can invest it in a better place. As when a person wants to make a financial investment, he gets advice from the financial advisors to get advice on where to invest, where he will get the highest gain and the highest profit, and guarantee of a profit. No one wants to invest where there is no security. We see that the price Allah has set in return for any person in this life, no one else can match up. And the bargain, the price is Jannah, which is priceless. Well, if we exchange and give up Jannah and bargain it for here in this life, we will only get a limited amount, which will eventually get used up. Or we may get popularity or fame or get some things accomplished. But these are all a small price in exchange for Jannah. If we must invest, we must invest ourselves for Jannah. Make a bargain for Jannah. Invest our life for Jannah. That is the best investment. Because no one else can pay a higher price than Jannah. Can anyone give anything like Jannah? For example, if a person works for X number of hours for some work for someone, it could be physical labor or something that requires mental energy. No matter what a person invests in for this life, no one can give such a big return, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to give if spent in His way. Giving up one's own will to the will and commands of Allah, giving up one's desires for Allah, spending life in the way ordained by Allah, it is only the 20 to 25 years. But people are not ready to invest in this. They say, my life, you live only once. People have made so many slogans, live to your fullest, or you only live once. And no college or university tells you that this life is a test. Therefore, we must invest carefully and with consciousness where we invest ourselves, where we get the best profit. Jannah is more valuable than any money. Although money in this life is hard earned, for when a person faces a loss in it, they can gain it back. But this life, if we invest in the wrong place, then that time cannot be replaced. If time that was wasted somewhere, we cannot get it back from anywhere. Even money lost can be replaced, but not the time wasted. So every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a message. Do not forget that this life was given to test mankind. After this test, there is death, when this test ends. If we make a timeline from Adam and Esanam, then after thousands of years have passed so far, with so many generations in between, then and now, where is our existence? It is as a small dot. This is how much time period of our existence. Many whose test is over and are in the graves. Many have yet to come. And in this short time, before this century is over, even the voices that speak today will be hushed. And those who are listening now as well. This is life, and so short. Don't you see how many have left already and are in the graves? They too used to walk about this earth, and they too had desires and would say, we have no time. They did not realize that this is a test, and they left. And even if someone doesn't realize the reality of this life, we too will leave. Allah has given us a very small time period. Everyone is taking their turn, taking their test, and then leaves. It's not forever. People say we will do it tomorrow or do it later. Which tomorrow are they talking about? Don't they see that some people went to pray Jummah Salah? They didn't know they would not even be able to leave the masjid. They would not live to see the next Jummah, and people would be mentioning their names in the world. They didn't know that. They didn't know that they would not see the coming Ramadan in their lives, nor would they eat or see their families ever again. They never knew that they would never return. Before returning home, they returned to Allah. So quickly, no one would have ever thought. They lived in the most peaceful city, most peaceful country, no one ever thought. This is the story of this life. Wa huwa al-aziz al-ghafoor, and he is the mighty, so powerful. In aziz, it means great strength, might, and dominance, and full authority. And in aziz, it is not having need to ask from anyone. There is no need to seek counsel from anyone. Rather, having full authority to do what he pleases. He has full power. When we think about the Lord, who is Al-Aziz, our hearts will realize his might and power. Then right after his mention of name Al-Aziz, he mentions his name, Al-Ghafoor. If a person slips in the test a little, then it's okay. He is the most forgiving, and he covers. As in ghafara, is to cover up. Ghafir is a helmet that covers the head. So he covers the faults so no one knows about it. Subhanallah. May Allah cover our sins and shortcomings. He covers in such a way that even angels do not know about it. And nor will other people. They will not know that this person did the certain sin. He forgives as he is Al-Ghafoor. He is Al-Aziz. A person shouldn't think that if he doesn't ask about his sins now, that he will never ask. No, he is Al-Aziz. He can grasp and he can ask. But he is also Al-Ghafoor. This is why Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, I wish I was a bird that would fly about freely and eat from wherever it willed, and then I would not have a test. The companions feared so much and knew that if they made mistakes and fell, so they were afraid. They saw birds without any account for them. While we live our lives without any worry, we don't realize we are being tested, and Allah will ask us about our deeds. As when there is a test, there is checking and then a result. No test in this world which doesn't get checked and give the mark for it. Even for this test, there will be checking. We will be made to stand in front of Allah. We will be informed of what we did and why we did it. This will be a harder test. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Giving account will be difficult, but we'll have to go through it. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تَبَاقًا. If we continue with adding Tabarak in front of this ayah and read it as greatly blessed, one who created the seven heavens, one above another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged the skies or heavens this way, one above another. Science has not been able to ascertain this as of yet, because man has not completely explored this one heaven. Whatever we see, the stars, the planets, the sun, or the galaxies in the universe, it is mentioned. The galaxy is also revolving around something. We learn the one round it takes for our entire galaxy to complete the circle, with the Earth included in it, is completed in 24 million years. This is how vast it is, and this is all under the first heaven. And beyond it are six more heavens. This is about the skies and the heavens of this universe. What is the reality of the Lord who is controlling and sustaining all the universes? This universe is expanding every day, yet sustaining it. It's not that it has become too large for him to handle. No. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Every day he is in a new splendor. He has made these heavens one above another. And we learn from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that between each level of heavens is the distance of 500 years. And Allah knows best its reality. We couldn't understand the expanse of even one universe. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. If you look at the skies, the heavens, and its creation, you will not see any lapses or decrease. Perfection is for Ar-Rahman. Here Allah's name is mentioned, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, because from this is his mercy that he created all the creation. If there was chaos and disharmony, what would happen on earth? It wouldn't have been livable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا تَرَى. You will not see any defects or disharmony. Everything is so accurate and perfect. Even the scientists who study astronomy, who acknowledge that there is such a fine balance upon which this universe is standing. And these are not even Muslims. Even a minute amount of change, even in the amount of the hundredth, if there was increase or decrease in the angles, that would create chaos and destruction. Also, if we look at the gravity between the earth and the sun, if there was even the minutest amount of reduced gravity, the earth would collapse into the sun, or if it was increased, would fly out of its orbit and off to somewhere else. Everything is extremely precise, as everything was made with accuracy, with perfect accuracy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا تَرَى. You do not see, or will not see. Both are included. The word is mudhari, meaning present and future tense. Look and see, you will not see any lapse or decrease. So you will not find any defect or anything out of balance. This is the creation of Ar-Rahman. In this surah, we see mention of Ar-Rahman many times. Ar-Rahman is from the word Raham, meaning a womb in which a fetus grows. And how is it for the developing baby? In it is its protection, providing nourishment, security, and providing every need for the developing baby. From it came the word Ar-Rahman. And when Allah says He is Ar-Rahman, then what does He not give us? This is His benevolence, His compassion, and the love for His creation. This is His mercy, that He created everything as He did. فَرْجِي الْبَصَرُ. Then again, turn back the sight. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Do you see any rifts, any cracks? Look towards the sky if you see it. Look at all the creation of Allah. Everything is as it should be. ثُمَّ ارْجِي الْبَصَرُ. Then again, return the sight. كَرَّتَيْنِ. Again and again. From looking again and again means, a believer's habit should be to contemplate and should keep on looking and think, this is a challenge from Allah. that the person sight will tire looking, but they will not find any cracks or defects. ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير. Will return to you your sight, disgraced, humbled, wearied and tired out. If you look, you will not see any faults, but will feel helplessness. This will lead the person to contemplate on the Rub, the Sustainer, who made such a complete universe, and will think, what is our place in this? You will not find anything in it. You will not see any defects. We see the word fu'ad and qalb. Both are words used for the heart. But what is the difference? Qalb here means returning, just as the heart turns, thus from it returning. But one thing to note is we see farji al-basar. In qalb, we see such returning that when it turns, it is in a different direction. So when your sight returns, your thinking will change and will lead a person to say, Subhanallah, to the one blessed who created all this. This time, after doing contemplation and looking and seeing many times, they will not have recognized, but now, when your sight returns after contemplation, it will not be as before. Now will turn in a different way. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and certainly, we see when لَقَدْ comes, it carries great emphasis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we adorned the heavens of the world with the lamps. They were not there on their own for always. Rather, Allah made them as adornments. For who? Mankind, not cows, cats, or dogs. So when man looks up and sees the stars, he will recognize these as proofs of Allah's greatness. Such big stars, are they there just for adornment? Or is there another purpose? It is not a big deal for Allah to make these large celestial bodies. We get impressed with them, but no big deal for Allah. As a person who is a billionaire, shoes that cost thousands will be no big deal for him to buy. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making the stars is no big deal, nor difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them as adornment. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رَجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. Secondly, and made it missiles for the devils. They are thrown from the stars. The stars are like a station from which flames are shot at the shayateen or the devils that ascend up to hear about matters of the ghaib or unseen from the conversations of the angels. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. And we have prepared for these shayateen, prepared for them a torment of the blazing fire in the hereafter. The shayateen are from jinn, and from humans there are other shayateen. What is for the shayateen? For jinn shayateen is also rajum. We learn the two reasons for the stars. One is beautification of the skies, and this is something hard to see and enjoy in cities. If anyone goes far away from the cities, in the villages or the mountains, and when they look at the sky at night, they will surely witness the beauty of these stars. Long ago, people would sleep outside and look at the skies. This is no longer done. Also, even if one stands outside at night, they cannot see anything from the stars. Just as when we want to decorate our homes, we do it with lights. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these stars as lights in the sky for an adornment. And the other purpose is to shoot down the shayateen. And then the third purpose mentioned in the Quran is so the travelers use it as a guide to find their way, to get direction. They serve as GPS. Subhanallah. So we learn about what happens to the shayateen from the jinn, who are disobedient to Allah, and from the mankind who disbelieve. What will become of them? وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And those who do kufr. What is kufr? Kufr is opposite of shukr. So kufr is being thankless. The disbeliever is thankless, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed so many blessings upon them, but they do not even believe or recognize the one who gave these blessings. They do not want to admit that it is Allah who gave them. And then the one who says he believes in one Allah, but then does not want to obey him, he too is doing kufr. Kufr of actions, which is very common, denying to obey Allah. When a person believes in his own self as the authority and doesn't believe that authority of anyone over theirs, then لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. How bad is the place of return? Everyone has to return. For some it can be a good place of return, and for others there are evil places. They chose such a bad place for themselves. In the next ayah, we learn in great detail about Jahannam, as when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Jahannam, he mentions about and those who go to Jannah in another ayah. But why? Because as we learn, this surah warns, as someone is sleeping in a deep sleep and a person is trying to wake up in a loud voice to wake them up. So stern warnings are given so man can wake up and take heed. People don't like to be warned. But if these warnings were not there, what would have become of us? If we are somewhat straight and have adopted some guidance, it is because of these warnings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا, when they are put in it, where? In the Jahannam, as just mentioned. سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ. They will hear its moaning, its roaring and groaning as it flares up. When people will be dragged towards Jahannam, they will not have reached there yet. While still they are far away, will hear a sound of inhaling and exhaling. Why? Because that day Jahannam will be enraged and will be out of control. It will let out loud screaming sounds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us even from the sight of hell. If we ever hear screams of anyone, our heart starts to feel anxious. For example, if we are in a hospital and we hear the person screaming from the next room from out of pain and cannot sleep, even when the other person is only sick. So that day there will be sounds of Jahannam screaming itself, and those in it will also be screaming. Now a group is going towards Jahannam, and they see this scene of horror. The fire of the world doesn't make any noise nor any sound. Even that is scary when we see a forest fire or anything else that is on fire. We see how it reaches the sky. The scene is very scary to see. What the hell will be making so much noise and will be screaming? When it is brought to the plane of assembly, it will be going out of control. It will be tied to 70,000 chains. From this, we see how huge hell is, and each chain will be dragged by 70,000 angels. Even then, it will be out of control, as wanting to escape. That will be the time when all of mankind will be on jathiya, on their knees, kneeling, and will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, myself, myself. This will be that time, its screaming, its roaring and loud noise. Jahannam is not a small thing. If there was death at that place, people would have died. If anyone could have a heart attack, would have it there. We go through anxieties and depressions and hear of some having heart attacks from the stresses in their lives. If it could happen there, it would happen there. But Allah will end death and all other things there. Otherwise, people could not tolerate to see it. Even the biggest awliya Allah, the saints, will be on their knees. This will be brought on the place of gathering and flare up. When do we see fire bursting out? We see it when we spray the fire, when we barbecue, and it flares up. But what will make it flare that day when mankind is being put in it? Humans will be its fuel. Astaghfirullah. The people entering it will make it flare up more and it will burst out. This is how this fire will be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and our families from the fire of hell. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور